Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This podcast brought to you by Gowin Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.
Agriculture is Saskatchewan, and 620 CKRM is your source for everything ag. Welcome to our newly expanded Saskatchewan Agriculture Today. Here's your host, Jim Smalley.
And a good afternoon. Welcome to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today, brought to you by Harvard Western Insurance. We don't judge. Here's another reminder to renew your plates today. Visit harvardwestern.com. And brought to you by Assiniboia Livestock for the most reliable and dependable way to market your livestock. Today we have a harvest update for southeast Saskatchewan and a warning for farmers to take precautions against combine fires. The latest report on grain movement shows CP rail doing much better than CN rail in the last crop year. We have the latest wheat market outlook from Sask Wheat. The farm weather is in its usual spot at the bottom of the hour.
This is Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with 620 CKRM Agri-News Director Jim Smalley.
This portion of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by Johnson's Grain, helping growers contract any type of grain. Call 1-800-324-7778 and Mazank Fuels, your local branded Petro-Canada wholesaler for over 40 years. Fill up the tank, call Mazank, 306-721-6667. Harvest is 15 to 20% complete in southeast Saskatchewan, where yields are expected to be about average this year. The provincial crops extension specialist in Weyburn, Sherry Roberts, says the southeast is one area where drought has had limited impact on crops this year.
I believe, Jim, that there's some guys, they're probably being close to done, because some of them have been at it, you know, for almost a month here now, so... We were just fortunate how the rains came and how things dried down and guys got out there. We are having some reports of combine fires, though. Apparently there was one at McTaggart yesterday, but they were able to get it out, which is very good. So producers really need to be mindful and keep those extinguishers handy and, you know, watch their rads and make sure, you know, with all the dust and everything, because since we haven't had any rain, there's a lot of dust in those crops. And really be careful and be mindful, and, you know, there is no race here that you win, you know. I mean, safety is always number one, so that's the first thing. But I'm hearing average to above average crops for those that have been brought in so far, except in those areas that got missed out by the rain.
And what areas was that?
Well, there's an area around Hume that seemed to be a pocket that got missed. There's a pocket southwest of Radville that got missed. There's a little pocket north of Kipling that seemed to have gotten missed, and then you go down between Oxbow and Carndiff. There's a pocket in there too. So certain areas, it just seemed like the rain just went around them, and unfortunately you can see it. I mean, it's not that we're in no way, shape, or form does anybody's fields look like up there, you know, at Outlook or Leader or even over by Swift Current, you know, south of Swift, but we have had some guys that they did not get the fortunateness of those rains, but at the same time, they're looking at average, coming in at average yields, where, you know, those other areas, some of them have gotten nothing. So my folks, my producers here in the southeast, I believe have absolutely, my grain farmers have nothing to be complaining about.
The pastures, though, another story.
The pastures. This is going to be a rebuilding process, and when the moisture does come, some of these guys, they're really going to have to look at doing some pasture rejuvenation. So don't forget to get in touch with our rain specialists or anybody at our offices to help them, because the pastures are really going to need it, and that's the sad thing.
What percentage of harvest, and do you have any yield numbers?
At this point, I would say maybe 15 to 20%, although some guys, like I said, are done in some areas already. So it's so variable, once again, depending on how soon they got their crops in. I know how he's been going. I'm hearing average yields on lentils and peas so far. I haven't heard any yields coming out on the durum, but they're, most of the guys said they figured they were going to hit at least average, and some are saying definitely above average. And but we're short in moisture in some of those pockets that got missed out. I was talking to a producer a week ago, and he said if he doesn't get substantial snow, he's going to be looking at chem fallow next year and then doing winter wheat or fall rye if he gets some moisture. So we are in some critical situations down here. But on average, the southeast, I'm still, as I said, early in the spring, average to above average yields.
Is it fair to say you're issuing an advisory or even a warning to producers about watch out for combine fires?
Absolutely. You know, as I always try to say, you know, safety's number one, and I know you're in a hurry to get her done, but, you know, keep those water trucks out there. You know, keep maybe even a tractor with a disc attached to it so you can, you know, get a fire line real quick if you need one. Definitely have those combines with fire extinguishers in them. And be safe. You know, safety's number one. Crops can be replaced, but people can't. And that's what they really need to be thinking about, because crops are dollars and cents, but your life is your life. And that's where what you need to put as a top priority. And for my producers out there that still haven't, I'm driving around and I'm seeing there's a lot of unevenness happening in fields this year. So I'm putting out an appeal once again to those producers that have a lot of unevenness in their fields. Instead of waiting till that, you know, moisture level is down below 30% so you can desiccate, how about hooking up with putting in a call to a friend of yours that's a livestock producer and swathing those areas and letting them bale it so that then you can proceed with your harvest and being below those MRL levels and they can get some hay, because we still do need hay down here. We do, and the whole province needs hay.
Sherry Roberts is the Provincial Crops Extension Specialist in Weyburn.
Back to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with Jim Smalley on 620 CKRM.
This portion is brought to you by Prairie 6-inch Eavesdrops. An inch makes a big difference. PrairieEavesdrops.ca. And Farmtronics in Regina, your farm electronics specialist. From moisture testers to security cameras, keeping your farm running productively and efficiently since 1977. 380 Henderson Drive. One Railway is getting much higher marks than the other for performance during the 2020-21 crop year, which ended July 31st. Milt Poirier with QGI Consulting compiles the statistics for the Ag Transport Coalition, whose members include grain companies and producer groups. Poirier says CP outperformed CN by double digits in every quarter for railcar order fulfillments.
They were good. They were good all year. They were good week in and week out. They had a couple of stretches where they, you know, struggle a little bit in the winter, but not significant from my perspective. And they were better than CN week in and week out, basically for 52 weeks. And in a lot of those weeks, it wasn't even close. CN, on the other hand, was a different story, to say the least. The year started poorly for CN, and it kind of stayed there. August-September period was impacted by crew shortages on CN, so performance suffered for that. On the heels of that, winter came, as it always does, which caused the natural slowdown of the system, which it always does. Having said that, compared to past winters, this past winter was actually fairly mild in Western Canada. I mean, it's not that we didn't have cold weather, but we didn't have prolonged extreme cold weather. We had a nasty snap for about a week or 10 days at the beginning of February, but really it wasn't too bad compared to prior years. The early spring really was CN's time to shine. I mean, after struggling mightily since August, when they got into the third quarter, April roughly, for about 12 weeks, they were performing very well. The best run they had, you know, in 18 months, frankly.
That was interrupted by the wildfires in BC that destroyed the community of Lytton on June 30th. After that, trains were ordered to slow down. The summer drought will mean less grain to move in the 2021-22 crop year, but that doesn't necessarily mean better rail performance, according to Poirier.
All indications are that the quality and the quantity of the crop is in flux, and that will lead to potentially a couple of things. one would think lower demand would lead to better performance because the railways would have lots of capacity and assets, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Not necessarily the case. The railways will adjust to demand. So if demand is low, the railways will figure out how low they think it is, and they'll start parking cars, they'll start releasing train crews, and they'll start parking locomotives. So they will look to bring their cost base down as a railway for servicing grain, consistent with what they see the market demand for movement being. Sometimes that doesn't go so well. It causes hiccups in performance.
Poirier has one more observation about grain movement after harvest.
When you have such a disparity in quality, it has the potential to change the natural flow of grain, if you will. So movement patterns will change because companies will be trying to source grain from places on the prairies to go to Vancouver, to go to Thunder Bay, or to go to Prince Rupert, where normally they may not have, just because that's where grain is available this year, if that's the way the crop comes in. So performance this year is a question mark. How the railways will react is a question mark. We already know CN has over 2,000 cars in storage. And then the quality of the crop will also be a factor in how the railways perform, because if normal distribution patterns change, it will change how the railways have to service that demand, and how well they adapt to that will tell the story.
Milt Poirier is with QGI Consulting, which monitors railway performance for the Ag Transport Coalition. His comments come from the Grain by Train podcast, produced by Pulse Canada, a member of the Ag Transport Coalition.
Time now for Real Agriculture with Sean Haney, brought to you in part by Karst Holdings in Assiniboia and Schlamp's Integra Tire in Grenfell. Your locally owned Integra Tire dealers on The Source, 620 CKRM.
This is your realagriculture.com update. Bring the energy of Real Ag Radio to your next customer meeting or conference. From your stage, we'll record an episode in person to inform and provide insight on the latest in agriculture. Email advertising at realagriculture.com to learn more about this unique keynote opportunity. Sean Haney here with realagriculture.com and Real Ag Radio. You know, when we're out there in the fields looking at our canola crops, pre-harvest intervals are absolutely important to be paying attention to. We're now going to hear a conversation that Kara Oosterhuis of Real Agriculture had with Keith Gabbert of the Canola Council of Canada.
Hey, Kara Oosterhuis here with realagriculture.com. I am back here today with another Canola School episode, and I have here with me Keith Gabbert, who's an agronomy specialist with the Canola Council of Canada. How are you doing today?
Doing great. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. So we're here today to talk about pre-harvest intervals, or PHIs. It's that time of the year we're starting to think about swath timing, harvest timing, all of that. And as it has been a very, we've been seeing lots of insects this year. We especially want to pay attention to those labels. What do you want to tell me about that?
PHI, or pre-harvest interval, is a really important concept for producers to understand. And it's actually a really easy concept to use. And the labels are really specific about the number of days between the time you apply a product and the time that you're allowed to cut it, swath it or combine it. Doesn't matter. When you cut it, it's the pre-harvest interval to the time that you've ceased growth on that crop. So pre-harvest intervals are important for products like insecticides that you might apply late in the season, or for harvest aids that you might apply as part of the dry down process, or maybe pre-harvest weed control. So then insecticides, pre-harvest intervals range from 28 days to 1 day for products that we might use in a canola crop. Any harvest aids generally tend to be a lot less than that, but it's really specific to each product. So it's important that growers understand the number of days that they're required to wait before they do another operation in their field, like harvest, on those products. Lots of places you can get the information. The product label, read and follow label directions, is a really good message for growers to understand. The Canola Council has a spray to swath tool on our website, so you can go in, type in the product name, and it'll tell you the number of days that you're required to wait. But wherever you get your information, as long as it's a reliable source, that's the important thing that growers need to know.
So why is this important? Why do we really need to pay attention?
Right. So pre-harvest interval is important because the registrant of that product has done the work to prove that the residue from that product will have either dissipated or been reduced to negligible or levels that are considered safe for the consumer. And while you might consider yourself a canola grower, really you're a canola meal grower, you're a canola oil grower, you're providing food for people all around the world. We want to make sure that that food is safe, healthy, nutritious, and meets any of the core requirements for the products that you've used on that product while you're growing it.
So what about staging? You know, you're walking across your crop, and why do you want to pay attention to staging when it comes to these PHIs?
Right. So for things like glyphosate, one of the challenges is to make sure that your crop is uniformly mature and that you're actually far enough along in maturity. So rather than be specific, make sure that you understand what crop you're doing and what the stage is that's required. So 30% moisture comes to mind for most of the crops, but look for what stage is required before you're allowed to apply the product, and understand that the whole field needs to be at that moisture or drier before you apply the product as a further aid to make sure that harvest is successful.
So what factors go into staging this crop or knowing what you're going to do with it?
Seed color change and seed moisture can be quite different, but regardless, you're going to need to open those pods, take a look, see if they're really firm, how far are they along on the process. If you're going to use glyphosate as a dry down product, or at least to try to make that crop dead and perhaps a little easier to manage several weeks down the road, you want to look for 30% seed moisture, which is quite different than seed color change. So you're going to need to sort of get a handle on where your crop's at. If you're swathing, we're going to recommend 60% seed color change. But in a variable crop, you're going to have to go through the whole crop and roll some of those seeds and decide where is the majority of the yield and is it at the right stage to swath. Same process applies if you're using glyphosate. You're looking for 30% seed moisture or less, and you're really going to have to look for the greenest parts of that field to be mature enough to allow glyphosate use. 30% seed moisture then ensures that the residue that might remain from a glyphosate application as part of your harvest management keeps that as a saleable commodity into the world market.
This has been your Real Agriculture Update. You can find out more about this issue or many others at realagriculture.com.
It's your agro weather forecast on The Source, 620 CKRM.
The official 620 CKRM farm weather is brought to you by Shepherd Realty in Regina, specializing in farm and ranch real estate in Saskatchewan. Call Harry, Justin, or Devin at 352-1866. And Moose Jaw Truck Shop, the number one choice for any diesel engine repair. Drop in, no appointment necessary, or visit moosejawtruckshop.com. Today, partly cloudy, 30% chance of showers late this afternoon, risk of a thunderstorm, hazy. Wind northeast 20, the high 26 today, 70% chance of showers near midnight, the low 13. Wednesday, a few showers, ending in the morning, then cloudy. Wind north 30, gusting to 50, the high 18. 60% chance of evening showers, the low 11. Thursday, cloudy, the high 18, the low 10. Friday, cloudy, 60% chance of showers, the high 18, the low 10. Saturday, partly cloudy, the high 20, the low 10. Sunday, partly cloudy, the high 20, the low 10. Monday, cloudy, 60% chance of showers, the high 22. Normal high is 25, the normal low is 9. The sun rose at 5:50 this morning, it sets at 8:15 tonight. And around the province, the hot spot is Estevan at 26. The cold spot, Uranium City, at 11 degrees. Once again, Estevan is 26, Saskatoon 13, Swift Current 18, Weyburn 26, Yorkton is 21. In Regina, cloudy and 22, that's 72 Fahrenheit. Winds are from the north-northeast to 24. Humidity is 44%, the barometer falling 101.0. Cloudy in Moose Jaw 20, winds are from the north-northeast to 22, gusting to 31. Once again, Regina, cloudy and 22, that's 72 Fahrenheit. Back in a moment.
Get out to an early start on weed control in next year's canola and lentil crop using Group 3 Edge Microactive from Gowan Canada this fall. Edge Microactive, maximize yields today and manage resistance for tomorrow. Always read and follow label directions from Gowan Canada.
You're listening to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with 620 CKRM Agri News Director Jim Smalley.
This portion of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by McDougall Auctioneers. Get fair market value for your assets with an online auction through McDougall Auctioneers, McDougallAuctions.com. And brought to you by Pattison Liquid Systems, experts in liquid fertilizer distribution. Fertilizer's just better when it's wetter. Pattison Liquid Systems, expect the best. The USDA projection of reduced wheat crops in North America had a major impact on grain markets this past week. Marlena Borsch of Mercantile Consulting says the USDA projection sees a global wheat production decline of 2% over the past month, or 20 million tons in Canada and Russia.
Overall, the global wheat production dropped by 15.5 million tons to 777 million tons, which is a 2% drop from their July estimate. As anticipated, the big declines were in Russian and in Canadian wheat production, a 12.5 and 7.5 million ton cut, respectively. That's a total of 20 million tons between the two countries, and the size of the cuts exceeded what was expected by the trade. The Australian crop was increased by 1.5 million tons, which went into exports, but at 22 million tons, they are nearing their export logistics capacity. The Ukrainian estimate also gained 3 million tons from last month to 33 million tons. However, wheat stocks are down everywhere, but most importantly, they are down in the 8 major exporting countries, following a 17 million ton overall crop reduction, with the stocks use ratio at a record low. So we can say that the wheat balance sheet lost a lot of tonnage available to the major exporters, which will be hard to replace elsewhere. Following is a selection of cash wheat values from around the world compared to last week for your perusal. You can also find these values weekly in the written Sask Wheat report on the Sask Wheat website. U.S. hard red spring for September is valued at US$405 per ton for PNW. That's unchanged from last week. But Gulf hard red winter 11 to 12.5 pro is valued at $326.60, which is up $14.80 per ton from last week. Australia new crop FOB APW wheat for October was quoted at $300, up $5 per ton from last week. For prices in the EU, September French wheat, 11.5% pro, closed at $300. That's up $24 from last week. September German wheat closed at around $308, up $33 per ton. And September Baltic 12.5 pro wheat was at $301, up $30. The problem in the EU is quality. Soufflé in France is reporting that only 35% of soft wheat so far is meeting the milling quality standard. And Russian 12.5 pro wheat for September is quoted at $295. That's up $25 from last week. We should add, durum prices here in Canada are very strong, with American buyers paying big premiums to Canadian elevator bids. $17 a bushel has traded. And that's for number three quarters. We think the latest reductions in wheat production for major exporters mean that world wheat importers now have a problem, because the lost production in export countries is not easily replaced. The wheat futures followed the report with positive movement on Friday as well. The leader was Minneapolis, up 5 to 11 cents in most front months. All three exchanges posted multi-year highs this past week. Last Friday, September, Chicago winter wheat closed at 7.62, up 43 cents on the week. September, Kansas hard red winter wheat closed at 7.42, up 37 cents for the week. And September, Minneapolis hard red spring wheat closed at 9.44, up 28 cents on the week.
The outlook is available on the Sask Wheat website and was released Monday. Coming up, the Durham Outlook.
You're tuned to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today on The Source, 620 CKRM.
This segment of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by Degelmann Industries. Look to Degelmann for the most reliable, dependable, engineered tough equipment on the market. And Arcola Building Supplies, small town lumberyard, big on service. ArcolaBuildingSupplies.com. A market analyst expects Canada to export less wheat this crop year due to drought. Marlena Borsch of Mercantile Consulting says wheat exports this crop year are projected at 17.5 million tons compared to 27.7 million last year. She expects good prices for spring wheat and durum.
Regarding durum wheat, USDA commented that the severe drought in western Canada and the northern plains of the U.S. will sharply reduce North American durum production. Not a surprise, the U.S. durum production is called down a full 50%. We note that EU durum is forecast to be up by 7% to 7.7 million tons, while Mexico's crop is up 9% to 1.3 million tons. But these relatively small increases in durum production in Europe and in Mexico will not be sufficient to offset declines in North America. Basically, we expect that both the Canadian and U.S. durum crops yielding badly, with the U.S. and Canadian crops yielding badly, durum supplies in North America will be very tight. We note that $17 per bushel has been paid by U.S. buyers for Canadian number 3 quartz, while Canadian buyers trail the market. This is the highest value we have ever seen for durum wheat.
Borsch market comments are from the Sask Wheat website.
The market updates with Jim Smalley on The Source, 620 CKRM.
Market update brought to you by Nelson GM in Assiniboia and Avonlea. If you are a Costco member, get huge savings on current 2019 and 2020 SUVs right now. Grain prices were mixed in early trading today. Viterra prices for feed barley rose $8 at $347.65. Canola gained $15.10 at $906.92. Lentils increased $12 at $919.50. Number one red spring wheat fell $4.16 at $372.91. The rest were unchanged. Durum $552.43. Flax $809.21. Oats $298.53. Yellow peas $472.12. Feed wheat $261.65. On the Minneapolis Exchange this morning, hard red spring wheat for September fell 16 cents at $9.26 a bushel.
It's the Livestock Reports on The Source, 620 CKRM.
The livestock quotes are brought to you by the Weyburn Livestock Exchange. Call Weyburn 842-4574. Now the latest quotes.
This is the market report for the Weyburn Livestock Exchange for the week of August 17th. We had a pre-sorted all breeds yearling sale here on Monday. Guess who is the high dollar market now? That's right, you guessed it, the Weyburn Livestock Exchange. 550 to 600 pound steers averaged $2.07 and sold up to $2.16. 600 to 650 pound steers averaged $2.11 and sold up to $2.16. 650 to 700 pound steers averaged $2.11 and sold up to $2.21. 700 to 800 pound steers averaged $2.05 and sold up to $2.21. 800 to 900 pound steers averaged $1.88 and sold up to $2.06. And steers over 900 pounds averaged $1.76 and sold up to $1.87. Heifers were 15 to 20 cents back from the steers. Some of the highlights from the sale were a load of 700 pound exotic steers at $2.21 a pound, a load of 800 pound black steers at $2.03 a pound, a load of 890 pound Angus steers at $1.87 a pound, a load of 990 pound exotic steers at $1.78.5 a pound. We had reputation Black Angus steers from the Taylor Ranch. They had a load of 900-pound steers at $1.86 a pound and a load of 1,000-pound steers at $1.74 a pound. We also had a load of 900-pound Black Angus steers from the Boris Ranch, and they sold for $1.86 as well. This has been Stephanie Digg reporting from the Weyburn Livestock Exchange, the market that gets cattle and the prices, too.
And the latest pork prices, $240.70 per CKG. Coming up, the Resource Report.
This is the Saskatchewan Resource Report on 620 CKRM. Here's Jim Smalley.
Now the Resource Report, brought to you by the Prairie Co-op Grow Team, fueling farms, feeding families, in Cupar, Ituna, Lipton, and Strasburg. BHP has announced that it will be going ahead with the first phase of the Jansen Potash Mine in eastern Saskatchewan. The company says it will invest $7.5 billion into the first stage of the mine. Premier Scott Moe calls it the largest single investment in Saskatchewan's history. BHP has already spent $5 billion on the project. The first stage is expected to produce approximately 4.35 million tons of potash a year. The mine is expected to operate for a century.
The first stage is expected to create up to 3,500 construction jobs and 600 once in operation. The village of Janson is about 150 kilometers east of Saskatoon. Saskatchewan continues to show strong signs of economic recovery. June 2021 manufacturing sales in Saskatchewan jumped 61% compared to June 2020, the second highest increase among provinces. The national rate rise 20% in 1 year. Manufacturing sales were valued at over $1.7 billion in this province. Monthly sales in June rose 7.5% compared to May, the highest increase among provinces. Wholesale trade in June jumped 2.5% year-over-year, reaching $2.4 billion in Saskatchewan. On the markets, the TSX is down 200 points at 20,283. The Dow has fallen 476 points at 35,149. Oil is down 87 cents at $66.42 a barrel. The Canadian dollar is down 43 one-hundredths of a cent at 79.09 cents U.S. That's the resource report. If you missed any segment of the show, tune in to the on-demand Saskatchewan Agriculture Today podcast, brought to you by Gowan Canada. Gowan Canada understands the challenges growers face and takes pride in finding effective crop protection solutions. Visit GowanCanada.com to learn more. That's Saskatchewan Agriculture Today. I'm Jim Smalley.
You've been listening to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with Jim Smalley on 620 CKRM. If you missed any of today's broadcast, download the podcast now online at 620CKRM.com. Saskatchewan Agriculture Today, now starting after the 12 o'clock news on your voice for everything ag, 620 CKRM.
This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.